Okay, I had a song. Here we go.
Thank you.
everybody. Welcome to Conversations with Golden Hawk. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and I'm so delighted that you're here. We got a great topic for tonight's show, and joining me in this divine, enchanted conversation is the divine and enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, Goldie. Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here on this summer night with the hurricane offshore.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, huh? There's a lot of activity happening on our planet between whirling winds and rumbling plates, a lot of volcanoes and stuff happening lately, and a lot of stuff, you know, and it's so funny, symbolic. What's happening on the earth, I believe, is absolutely happening within each and every one of us. We are having our own volcanoes and our own earthquakes and tornadoes.
Our own spirals, yeah, like that picture.
Exactly.
I love that picture you have of Nassim's, up on top
the
there.
The singularity, yes, the singularity.
That like it's like a funnel. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, because that's kind of, the focus of today's show is, it's a vast topic. It's about, you know, understanding the matrix and our journey of leaving the matrix, which is, you know, you don't basically just draw a line in the sand, you know, step and you're out of the matrix. I don't believe it worked that way. It wasn't designed to work that way. But I do believe that it's, you know, of course, it's a paradox because in every choice that we make on a daily basis, we can choose to leave the matrix and stand in our sovereignty and our authenticity. And these choices are definitely not, they're not the run-of-the-mill choices. I always like to talk in the positive, so let's not talk what they're not. These choices are those of pioneers and those of rebels and
yeah.
Right? It's the choice that it basically breaks you out of the pack. It basically separates you from the tribe and takes tremendous energy and effort and courage. And again, but the paradox being when it's inside you and it's your time and it's the lifetime where you know you're going to apply yourself and leave the matrix, can't have it any other way. You're compelled to leave. I'm speaking of my own journey in this lifetime, where as much as I always wanted to be accepted and liked by the group, whatever group it was, whether it was, you know, the school kids or my neighborhood friends, I often found myself on the outside of the group because of the choices I made and was ridiculed for them. And ironically, that is part of the strength of leaving the matrix. That is what we have to experience. And it builds a muscle inside of us. I think the person who... for me anyway, symbolically shows that in a wonderful, pronounced way was David Icke. You know, when 30 years ago he was talking about reptilians and all sorts of wisdom that's kind of mainstream in the New Age media today, he was significantly ridiculed for, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But it didn't stop him from speaking it, living it, and honoring that truth because it's a resolve inside of us. And it really is, it's an inside job leaving the outside world of the matrix. And in my humble opinion, it's something that is, to think that we can do it in a couple of months or a few years is, as the song was saying, oh, by the way, that was Styx, Fooling Yourself, from the album The Grand Illusion. I almost picked the song The Grand Illusion, but that song was about the Matrix and us being fooled by it, where this, you know, Fooling Yourself, I love how we were writing in the chat room, you know, get up, stand up, get back on your feet. You're the one you're the one they can't beat, and you know it, because this is kind of a great segue into the first part of this talk tonight. I want to talk about death. Death is very much a part of being in the Matrix and the consequences it has for us as we live in the Matrix. But before I do that, Janine, do you want to share anything in general or anything? Anything?
Yeah, it's just that, this is such a broad topic, and it's not a new topic. It's been around forever, but when it's up, it's up. For the individual, for individuals in maybe more numbers now. And I thought your song was perfect because I saw it as an encouragement song, and I saw it as, like I said to you, that it was like a rallying to oneself to encourage us. Once things start to be exposed over that gradual process, and at first it's very shocking, and even David Icke is a great example for. When he first started talking, people were like, what? And then the perspectives of what reality is start shifting, and it's not as shocking. And so, this has been years and years of really looking at, the falseness or the matrix, with the system. And So I thought I saw a post you did today. Tell me if I'm wrong, but it said something about when you're in your authentic self, something changes. It just shifts. Did you post that, or did someone else post that?
That's under the picture that you just were saying that you like of the singularity.
I thought that was so true about authenticity,
loosening, it loosens the grip of the matrix.
Yeah.
That's what I
and I thought, that literally explains the process, because that is what's happening when to me, that's what that song was, because you realize it's in the palm of your hand and then feels as if day by day, you start to see it more, that that is unraveling and it is loosening the grip. But it takes those committed, disciplined, ways of living. But the funny thing is it's almost like, kind of saying this kind of funny, as if we had a choice. I think when it's up for someone, it's up for someone, and you really, it has a momentum, and I think that's why you felt, from all that I can sense, it was why the show was just right timing. There's been a momentum. And so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, it's July 3rd, too. The momentum of the Matrix right now is they're pumping us in America with,
right.
Independence Day.
Oh, yeah,
And, of course, that there is an irony to it, because
very much so. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
And in so many ways, I don't. This is the word that just popped in, so I'm going to say it. But it seems childish to me. It's like, really, you want to think that? Look around and how they're treating the little kids that just came in over the borders, and it's just like, come on, we were talking before about love and compassion, and it's like, come on, independence for a few, or the select
right.
few, or it just seems so biased to me. And so anyway, yeah, I didn't even think Independence Day tomorrow, but you're right.
That was the momentum, because it's the Matrix momentum. So this is our way of kind of, showing our own momentum. And because I'm definitely a rebel at heart. I've been a rebel my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so interesting, because to rebel, and I wrote this in a post a few weeks ago, to rebel when I was younger meant, skipping school, selling drugs, basically, quote unquote, breaking the law.
Right.
To rebel from the Matrix as an adult, is about sitting in the forest, connecting with water animals and trees. You know, it's so not about the law.
No,
it's about the L-O-R-E. It's about the lore of nature versus the anti-life laws of the Matrix. You know, it literally becomes what's life enhancing as opposed to what's life diminishing.
Yeah, and to me, it's a true maturing of the person. You know, as a human, as a person, as opposed to some immature notion of what. When I see what, you know, what's advertised in the Matrix as, you know, good, it just seems so immature and undeveloped to me. It's like, really?
Yeah, no, right on.
You know, so so this is a maturing thing.
Yeah.
And
true
maturity, you know, so and so maturity, authenticity, and I think I've experienced it where the grips of the Matrix does loosen, you know, it even if it's for those moments when you go, there it is. But it's definitely apparent to me. And So that's all for now, but I'll be joining in.
No, good momentum. And I mean, because it's so funny, we could take this on so many levels, because
I
segue into the TV and stuff, and we're going to talk about that stuff, but
Right.
We're going to talk about death first, because I posted an article in the Facebook event page, an exquisite article by a woman named Carissa Conti, about the wisdom of understanding that we choose when we die. Now, I want everybody – I know death is a subject that inherently most people don't want to speak of, which is part of the Matrix in itself, because...
Well, the manipulation.
Exactly. Because by not speaking of it or not looking at it, we really can't destigmatize it. And for whatever the reason, in this lifetime, I've been shot in the head directly by a gun in a dream, which helped me to so I essentially, quote-unquote, died in a dream, but of course you never die in a dream because you can't die in a dream. But the truth is you can't die in a wake either because what ultimately, what we are taught death is that we cease to exist. That can never be. Your body can cease to exist, but your consciousness and that inner voice inside of your head that is truly the illuminating factor in your body, that can never cease to be. It can just cease to be in the body. And what's so interesting about this is how this is unfolding on a, what I call a breadcrumb trail for me of my own awakening and awareness as I'm going through this in 2014. So let me start. I'm gonna tell the fawn story.
Okay, so
the other day I woke up in a very frenetic state. I could feel I was hyper, very ADD, you know, I just couldn't get comfortable with myself. I hadn't been to the forest in about 4 or 5 days. It was 5:30 in the morning. It's like, get up and go, Goldie. So I posted on Facebook that I had frenetic energy and I needed to go sit and find my center in the forest. So I'm driving to, you know, the forest. The roads are essentially empty. And I'm going up this hill, and from the left side, out of nowhere, well, no, before I say that, at the moment, as I'm driving up this hill, I'm looking in my purse to call Janine. I'm looking for my phone and trying to get her number to come up. As I'm doing this, from the left side of the road, a little baby fawn runs out, and I hit her with the car. I freak out. This is the ultimate in guilt for me. I stop the car. The fawn kind of tumbles and then runs back to the side of the road and hides in the bushes. I immediately turn the car around, stop the car, get out of the car, and for about 30 seconds, me and the fawn have an eye lock, which the entire time I am expressing deep sorrow, immense immense sorrow that I hit her, and please be okay. Please don't die. But if you need my assistance, I was completely prepared and ready to pick her up, put her in the car, and take her to an emergency vet. So for 30 seconds, I didn't move. She didn't move. We just stared at each other. I took one step to go closer to her. She got up and just sprinted away. I get back in my car, and I talk about frenetic mess. Energetically, I am all over the place. I am in guilt. I am in shame, beating myself up, anxiety. Okay, continue to go to the forest. I drive. I get to the forest. Sitting in Mother Nature is so incredibly eye-opening, heart-opening, wisdom-opening. Because as I'm sitting there, I'm starting to breathe and I'm starting to see things that I don't see when I'm in guilt and shame and fear over this little being. Okay, the first thing that I see is her running away. I don't believe her bones were broken, not by the way she ran away. I mean, she was scared, definitely, but for whatever the reason, you know, the car hit her in a way, or she hit the car where she kind of bounced off it. So I'm not saying she wasn't bruised some and wasn't feeling it, but she wasn't broken. And I don't even know how that can be the way it was. So I needed to start grabbing and grasping some facts. Another thing that I started feeling into was the fact that I had wrote on Facebook that I had frenetic energy. This little fawn came out of nowhere in a frenetic state. It was like we were drawn together in our frenetic activity, because it was kind of amazing. That fawn could have crossed the road at any other time and no cars would have been there. But we meet at an intersected point that, you know, is like you kind of got to look and go, there's got to be a reason for it, because there's too many time frames before and after that she could have crossed without no problem. And so I was, it was interesting because I've been thinking about death lately from a conscious point of view. I had not read the article that I posted in the thing yet, but I had been thinking about death because of this, the deprivation tank and the floating that I've been focusing my attention on. And I've been thinking about dying consciously. So all of a sudden it struck me that, okay, this clearly could not have been her time to die, because she didn't die. And if she went to the woods to die, okay, but that was not what it looked like. I mean, she literally scampered. I saw her run about, I don't know, 30 yards, and it looked like a healthy little fawn when she was running. You know, she wasn't limping. I mean, she sprinted, and she looked healthy. As healthy as one can look after, you know, bouncing off a car. So as I was sitting in the forest and all these thoughts are coming to me, I started really getting an understanding of the journey that I've been on coming up into this point. Once again, I'm going to reference also that bad mushroom trip that I had about a month ago, how the energies, the beings that feed off of guilt and anxiety and fear, and it just became very natural for me to just start sending this fawn love and golden energy. And I purposely drove home on the same road I came on, slowed the car down. I was looking for any signs of her. If she needed my assistance, I was absolutely going to be there. I know that those 30 seconds that we were together, we quantumly entangled, so I was just focusing all of my attention on becoming an assistant to her energetically. And I know from my own experiences that energetic assistance is palpable. It is actually, you know, I've broken the laws of physics through energetic things that I've done in my own experience. So, you know, it's palpable and I know it can change an experience, because another thing I noticed too was she had no mother. This little baby fawn was by herself, and so I was kind of running that wisdom through me about, you know, I have Mother Earth, my mom died, but I could understand being without a mother and how scary that is, and also how that was a time in my life that changed my life. It was absolutely the scariest time in my life, but I lived through it and was reborn because of that time. And because one of the things that's very interesting to me is the deer is part of my 9 totems in this lifetime. So she's an aspect of me. And I very much was connecting with that and connecting with the idea of, you know, not being ready to die. And so, okay, so let's speed up. So after this experience, which, of course, another thing I want to make note of is me and Janine spoke about, I guess about 10 days ago, where we set the date for this talk, and we were both so cognitively aware that, okay, we're going to talk about the Matrix. Look for the Matrix to show up in your world, because it's kind of like when you decide you want to buy a red Toyota. All of a sudden on the road, you see all these red Toyotas. You know, it's like the minute you put it into your field of awareness that, you know, you're going to you're gonna bring awareness to something, awareness comes to you from that point forward. You don't have to wait the 10 days. This is how it works. This is because of our intentions, our goals, our focus, our energy. These are all part of what is being manipulated by the Matrix and what we're awakening to as we free ourselves from it.
Right outside the Matrix. Right.
Exactly.
I'm curious about this guard to that. I'm curious about how, what is this interaction with the fawn, just the way you explained it, which, you know, it is a, just a pinpoint of coming together, because, you know, seconds mattered, you know, to have this happen. And I'm wondering,
right,
was that for you, this is a outside of the Matrix signs and teachings, or a how did that feel, or what did you get from
right
that?
Well, it becomes the critical moment of, do I go into guilt and shame and stay
okay
there? Or
right,
can I, of course, I mean, the beauty of the timing for me was I'm literally on the way to the forest, which is whenever I have anything of that, the Matrix is tugging at me, or, you know, it's got me in a stranglehold of any kind. When I go to the forest, it loosens its grip on me there, because I can stop the mind thoughts there. But I'm learning that I can stop more than just mind chatter in the forest. I can actually dislodge myself from guilt and anxiety, and these are major major frequencies that the Matrix, it's almost like we must show up on some kind of board, you know, like the minute we're in fear and anxiety and guilt, like the Matrix hones in on us, because it was flooding my experience. I mean, the drive from where the little fawn was till I got to the woods, you know, was like 100 years of everything negative I've ever done just flooding through me and diminishing,
right,
diminishing me on every level, just diminishing me.
Right. But, you know, on just from, like, there's been times where, say, one moment, you know, when I remember, was I was upstairs, my son Zach, who was probably in high school at the time, you know, pretty developed guy always. So anyway, I remember hearing something in the kitchen, and it was a little baby squirrel somehow had gotten in the kitchen. I'm not sure how, but it, you know, came up from maybe behind the sink or something like that. And I remember, you know, talk about the energy of a little frantic baby squirrel, like, where am I, what am I doing? And, you know, I'm in the kitchen, and, you know, you see this little creature running around trying to get out, and my son comes in and he's like, Mr. Calm. Like, he just brought this calmness into the kitchen. And I remember that. He was just like, you know, and literally we opened up the door in his calm energy and guided this little baby squirrel out, and it was like a moment and it was over. What I noticed, you know, when I was listening to your story, and, you know, is the immediate proactivity and responsibility of turning around and going to this little creature, you know, to me is a very important part of how, you know, you didn't leave in some panic, frantic, oh, I just hope it's okay, and I, you know, and so
right.
You go back and you confront the very dear and and I mean D-E-A-R, uncomfortable, you know, willingness to see whatever's happened here. And I think that's a very important piece of the story. Regardless of the outcome, you were willing, your immediate turn around, go to the aid of this little creature. You know,
yes.
I may not like what I see, but that's a very important piece here. You know, it's the very nature of bringing, you know, taking responsibility regardless, and not leaving the scene of quote an accident. You know, where, you know, and to me, it like the little baby squirrel in the kitchen, your 30-second looking at each other was a calming thing. You know, it was
you weren't
frantic and, you know, freaking out. And I mean, I know you were going through a lot of emotion. I would be too. It's one of those tugs at us, you know, but I think that the instinct to turn around, go to it, stand there, and willingness to care for it in whichever way you needed to is such an important piece of this matrix topic, you know, and taking responsibility and being mature, whatever, you know, shows up in our, you know, how it plays out. So that's what
excellent
I picked
point.
Up on.
Excellent point.
Yeah. Because there's a certain, I mean, you know, what happened, and I completely, you know, I would be going through all those emotions too, but there's also this piece of us that, you know, is willing to go deal with it. That's important.
Yes.
So I just wanted to highlight that.
Thank you.
Know?
No, that's your brilliance, your subtle brilliance showing up and right on.
Because nothing can happen, Goldie, when we don't, you know, I was just, and I know, we'll, you know, we'll go where we go, but, you know, I remember when that woman collapsed on the floor at my book signing and, you know, I didn't even see her. She was in the crowd, but, you know, my willingness to attend to her, you know, I could have been part of the crowd too that didn't do anything. And something happened in that engagement that will always be with me in terms of the power of whatever it was that we exchanged and my feeling of love for this woman that I didn't even know, which totally came to my, you know, I was like noticing it. And then your affection and your caring for this little creature, there's something to that, you know, and I...
You are spot on, Jay. That is, you're right.
Right.
You're
there's
right.
There's something to the exchange.
And it's powerful. It's powerful.
It is. And I'm getting, my body's completely like reacting to that, you know, which is not common for me, by the way. So, you know, there's a real jewel in there. You know, about this experience, about those times when it feels like, and how we react, how we respond. So there's like the calmness in the storm, you know, the best of us comes out, you know. So that's a real warrior, you know. But the kind of warrior that heals, not the kind of warrior that hurts, you know.
Wow. No, that is, you know, and just for the people who might not be aware, Janine basically resuscitated a woman.
40-year-old woman.
A 40-year-old woman on the laws of physics because of the amount of time this woman went without, you know, oxygen to the brain and all that good stuff, mm-hmm. should have been, you know, classified.
Brain damaged. Severely.
Brain damaged. Severely. Yeah. And when Janine, you know, spoke with this woman, you know, later on, was completely recovered, 100%. You know, because, see, the Matrix has us in such these boxes of A equals B equals C, you know, boom, boom, boom. This is the way it is. That, you know, the laws of physics cannot break the laws of physics. And the
right.
laws of physics, that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, it's so funny. Me and Janine were talking earlier in the week about how dogmas really affect our lives. And, you know, we think of the word dogma and we think religion, but are you kidding me? Science is a dogma, and everything about the Matrix
right.
is a dogma.
And certain diagnoses are a dogma. And, you know, I'm a nurse, so it's not like I'm even speaking for – I mean, I know medically what, you know, I've been told what – and my willingness to stay with – keep working with this woman, and it defied everything I knew when I heard – all she had was short-term memory loss and went home. The medical team had told her family if she comes through, she'll just be severely brain damaged. And she was fine. She was fine. And it's like, you know, it just shows you it's the deer. And I like the word when you said, first of all, you said rolled, and then you said bounced. And, you know, it's very likely that however this deer got hit, it wasn't a blow. It was like a bounce. You know, it was you know, so you know, it is just extraordinary. And here's the other thing about it. None of this appears to have, I mean, I didn't go to a book signing knowing this was going to happen. Goldie's not driving to the woods knowing this is going to happen, you know, but here it is. It's showing up, and, you know, how are you going to be? And I really do think that that's the warrior in practice, you know.
Yes. And I agree with that. But here's what I think is the preparation needed is we have to expand our wisdom beyond the dogma of the Matrix. Like the article that I posted talks about death in a way that, I mean, she really just puts it right out there that we die when we choose we're going to die. Now, you know, and you go, no, people are murdered and you know, and there's storms, you know, people die all the time. But that is saying that, you know, the whole concept of, what I'm trying to get across, I don't know if I'm doing it so great, but I'm trying to get across is that true death, we literally leave the body when we choose to. And I would imagine everybody has known somebody from their family that, you know, who was very, very ill. And basically, I mean, I know from my mother literally told me, I'm staying alive until your brother comes to the hospital. And I basically told her, he's not coming. He can't handle seeing you. Like, she was in a coma. Her body was all distorted and bloated. I mean, I was like, you deal with him later. You got to let go. You know, I mean, but it's like, it's a choice. And the minute we get to, the minute we start understanding is a choice, how much power we actually have, because it's not just about death being a choice. Now it's about how we live our lives is a choice, you know, and you know,
is approaching it from the biggest topic of all, which is a good deal, because it's like if that ultimate hold and control and fear-based, you know, deception of it puts a hold on you, why not just go right to the big one?
Exactly.
You know, which is,
exactly.
Which is the death card, you know, because, you
well,
know.
Yes. You know, it's the hangman. It's the big one. Well, and it's so funny because when I educate myself on death, I start realizing how much the Matrix plays in it, in that, you know, when we're 99% of us, if I ask you, you know, if you haven't done your own investigative work on this topic, okay, but you've had an awakening. You know, you're on your spiritual path. I go to you, okay, when you die, what are you going to do once you realize you're dead? Most people say, I'm going to go to the light because, yeah. Right, that's where enlightened beings go towards the light. And what I have found in my own investigation of this subject is the light is basically, it's a trap. It is an inorganic portal where the organic portal, because I'm not even going to get into what the inorganic portal is. We know that. These are the beings that are basically alive in the fourth dimension who have awareness of things non-physical about us that we might not yet have awareness of, not consciously.
Right.
What I highly recommend for everybody who's on the enlightened path, the minute you know you're dead, declare that you connect with your soul. Because what I have found in reading, I believe it's in this article too, she speaks about how if people are not connecting with their soul, what happens is it's easier to manipulate you in your next lifetime because you haven't gone to the organic fuel tank to reconnect, you know, to reestablish.
It's like a potency. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it reflects in the amount of energy that you can direct in the matrix. Because I truly believe what Janine did with the woman who you know, needed the CPR, what I've seen myself do with Dakini, I've seen myself do it with children when I was nannying, children that would, you know, fall off a changing table and have a significant lump on their head. And I know children heal miraculously, no doubt. But I would focus my love and attention on these babies because God knows I didn't want the parents to see it 8 hours later when they came home from work. And it would be significantly less. These healings you can break the laws of medicine that says, oh, this takes 3 months to heal or this takes 1 week to heal. That is a line of bullcocky. Healing is about how much energy you can direct and focus, especially from a space of just outpouring of love. And love, not based in fear, but love, and I know it sounds like I was based in fear with those nanny gigs, but it was really also, you know, I wanted this little baby to feel better. You know, I'm always about the babies and the kids feeling good. Secondary was also, oh, okay, and if you heal, I don't have to explain it to your parents. Exactly. but I've seen it. I have seen and miraculous things happen, and the key is the amount of energy we can yield. I definitely believe is associated with what is going on in our lives in between our lives, because you're either refueling with your soul or, I mean, imagine the people that are going towards the light 4, 5, 6 times. That's 6 incarnations. We're now talking, let's just do 80 years, 6 times, 480 years worth of lifetimes, and not once connecting with their soul. You know, you're going to really have a very a weak stamina. And
yeah, I really recommend that article because I do see that there. It's a great explanation of the potency of when you're here. And why, and you know, and I always think it's like, you know, I've always heard certain people like shamans and the anthropologists that I adored that passed recently, Angela Sarian, they talk about soul loss, and then, you know, and then you're talking, and I'm going, oh, and then as we stay true to our authentic self, and you know, kind of quote, not defy the matrix, but live in a more authentic, pure state of in our own reality, rather than being manipulated and controlled as the death paradigm explains perfectly about how we're controlled and manipulated to think that we don't have choice. It is like the ultimate control, because once, if you really capture that article, if you really take that in, it does have an effect on how it's very empowering, let's say. So
very,
you know,
empowering.
Right.
Very.
So it really does, you know, then you can start to see the potency of a person who's coming back, you know, with soul, you know, that full soul, and the effect, you know, it's like the Neo thing, you know, the Matrix hold does really naturally start to just take less hold of you. It's like a process. It's a definite process that,
yeah.
You know, and I said to you, even over the last few days, because I said to Goldie, and I love this, that, you know, now that she had said to me, okay, when do you want to do the show? And I said, this is a good day for me. And she said, great. And then I said, now that we've put it into play, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what shows up. Because it is a big topic to approach. And I thought, well, it's going to reveal itself, you know, as it does, and it is, and
yep.
You know, and as and then over the last few days, it's even been revealing itself more. And in conversation with Goldie, as we're talking, I said, you know, and I said, you know, and this I think has to do with that soul potency, where you start to see that you have an influence on reality, like which is also way outside the Matrix. You know, you start to feel that when you're in your authentic self and when you're doing this exploration, that there's an influence that's literally changing reality, and it's kind of quote vice versa. You know, it's like that funny, what, the chicken or the egg, but it really is the person who's holding the space that I believe. And I found, and I said to Goldie, and I thought, wow, Janine, that was really bold of you to say, because that I said, yeah. And I feel, as we're talking, Goldie, I said, I can see how when you really start to get this, there's an influence you have on reality in your personal space, but then it emanates out. And I said, and then I caught myself and I went, that was a bold comment. And I liked it, because to be bold is to be confident. And that's a really nice thing for me.
Everyone.
For everyone, but if anyone's ever read any of my books, they'll always see that my characters go through confidence crises.
And that's
no accident, you know, because confidence is an important piece here, you know, and you really start to own your influence, you know, and that's a positive thing, you know. So anyway,
it's a brilliant point.
Such a fun conversation for me, because this is what ends up happening, is this opens up these paradigms that, like, literally as we speak, they're revealing themselves, and you're like, wow, this is amazing, you know, or fun,
yeah.
So
yeah.
As I was listening, I went, whoa, this is, you know, what an experience that occurred, and I didn't even know until today.
Yeah.
You know, right? So
yeah.
So it brings
yeah.
up so much.
Well, and 'cause see, I love it that, you know, I love having these discussions with you, because you mm-hmm. bring into the conversation the subtlety of that poignant aspect of the confidence is a poignant of soul and leaving the Matrix. It's like, if you don't have the confidence, you really can't get the momentum to start loosening the grip, because the Matrix is relentless and it'll pound you. It'll and without the confidence to go against literally the culture. I mean,
yeah.
you go against
yeah.
the culture when you're going up against this. You're going against, you know, powers that be, like the Vatican. You know, talk about power. Holy shit. You know, like all of it, or even science, and, you know, the schools, the universities. It's like I recently had a session done, and in my session, Robert Wilkinson said something very poignant that I'm going to share because it's the perfect quote for this part of the discussion, which is, doubt and belief are two sides to the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pendulum game of I doubt, I believe. I doubt, I believe.
Right.
That is the matrix because
right. Exactly.
The true confidence is you know. And when
right.
you know, you are no longer in the polarity of doubt and belief. It is literally bigger than doubt and belief. And you get to knowing through crises. That's where this knowing that you can bend and or break laws of physics, of bend or break laws of your own belief. Because I beg to ask everybody the question. I think everybody has had a situation in their life, at least at one time, where they know they should have died and didn't. You know, I mean, whether it was in a dream or in a car, I mean, I know that there were several times in a car, I mean, whether I was driving it or basically hanging on top of it, you know, in my teens and early 20s, where I definitely should have died. That's kind of what's the beauty about our youth is we're so willing to push our envelopes, you know, so much further into the realms of the unknown and the unpredictable. And when we come out of it, you know, it's funny, you know, it all gets caught up in that euphemism and that blissed out state that we have is, you know, we can't die in our youth, right? I know I definitely felt that way. But it's funny, and then we get kind of beaten down. And, like, one of the things I really got from the article is, for me personally, I have been stating since I knew I was going to ascend, I'm no longer ascending. You know, I'm now just basically, my goal is break free from the matrix and continue on my journey and wait for Mother Nature or Mother Earth to go supernova. That's just my personal journey. But if I leave this planet before she goes supernova, I have stated wholeheartedly and with total resolve that I will walk out of my body when it's time for me to go. I will consciously walk out. And it's so interesting because this article really states that if you state how you're going to die, well, that's how you're going to die because you have that kind of creative power in your own experience to state. And by saying I'm going to walk out of my body means I'm not going to die of cancer. I'm not going to, you know, I've already stated that anyways. I know I won't die of cancer. Once I started, you know, really looking at Candida head on, I realized, wow, okay, that clearly is eliminating a significant part of what cancer was going to get to me. I know when I say things like this, and it's what Janine was saying, see, these are bold statements. And I can feel the audience saying, you know, she thinks she knows, but she doesn't really know. And see, that is the doubt.
Right.
But I'll be honest with you, if you've lived the life I've lived where you've bent the rules on numerous things, I mean, I've bent the rules on the law of, you know, the land, meaning I've sold drugs and never got arrested. I've bent the rules on dying and living. I've bent the rules on laying my hands on people and changing their experience. The other day, Scott had a significant case of heat stroke when he was over at his mother's house. And he came inside. He was very close to passing out. And Scott doesn't really maintain his body in a very – he doesn't know how to calm himself down once his body gets wound up. So, you know, I was fanning him to cool him off. We're putting some cold rags on his neck and on his head. But he couldn't stop the hyperventilation, and he couldn't stop his heart from – I could feel it. It was like pounding out of his chest. And I go, sit down. And I just laid my hands on him. And like 3 or 4 minutes later, his breathing, became back to normal and his heart rate changed. And I know it was my energy that, working with his energy that did that. And I'm not amazed when I do that. I know I can do that. I just know I can. And
And that is the confidence, because it's the opposite of that frantic panic energy, or we could call it the matrix energy, and I really think that the topic, whether planned or not, I love that the ultimate manipulation is around the death thing, and it really is the big topic, I like going for the big topic, because if you can really start to get that this is not the way it is, or that, sold a false, bill of goods or whatever. It's funny, because I would not have, you told me, I was like, oh, okay. But, you see the wisdom in discussing death, because it is really truly the big, it's why people don't live. I don't mean they breathe and they do things, but they're not living. They're not
they're afraid. They're afraid of germs. They're afraid
they don't even
crime.
Know it. Right. So this is such a great, it's turning around and going back to the deer. It's the great confrontation of, come on, just let's look at it,
exactly,
I do believe
Janine.
That soul,
Well, the soul wants to look at death, because
exactly.
The soul literally knows that, because I'm not saying I won't die, I'm just saying I'm consciously choosing how it's going to happen. And by consciously choosing that, I will create it. It's like, it's almost like, instead of becoming the effect of the matrix, you start becoming the cause of your own experience.
Right.
And it's not about, I can't cause myself not to experience pain, or, because that morning, oh my God,
that's,
are you kidding me?
That's another avoidance issue.
Yeah, that morning was filled, chock filled with challenging emotions and challenging frequencies for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I welcome those challenges, because I do literally, I grow from them. I witness myself in a space that, where the matrix, there are times the matrix would have had me for months just hitting the fawn. Months it would have had me in a guilt, and because I was fumbling for the phone, I wasn't paying attention to the road. I mean, that could have taken me down for months.
Right.
By the time, in less than 2 hours, I was at peace with this. I know the connection, because you start really understanding when you're creating from your soul. Remember, the deer is one of my 9 totems. It's literally a part of me. So when I wrote on Facebook, I'm in a frenetic state, I need to go get cleared, this is part of the journey to get clear.
Yes, it was.
It can't be avoided. It's part of it. It's a beautiful part of it, because this is what we're all doing when we trigger each other. This is what we're doing when our challenges come up directly to us, and again, out of the blue, out of left field, literally, the left side of me came in. How we respond. Do we react, or do we respond? And there's a huge difference. I want, because it's almost 7 o'clock, so for the hour, do you have something to say? Closing thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's funny, because I'm listening to you, and, I was just, Tuesday, I was just at a school doing my art of storytelling and illustration and opening your imagination to these, students from second grade to 10th grade. And, I was standing in front of them, and I have this poster that has this, one of my characters from the book, and underneath it has a Joseph Campbell quote, and it says, The big question is whether you're going to be able to say a hearty yes to your adventure. And,
nice.
You know, it strikes me every time that when all is said and done and I'm standing in front of these kids and I'm trying not to misperceive anything, like, are they getting it? They're not getting it. You know,
right.
They're staring at me and I'm going, you know, you don't know. You just don't know.
Yeah.
You can never assume.
Yeah.
So, but I found myself on Tuesday in front of these kids and the quietness, the silence of them, you know, you could almost just not really know where you're going with this. And I found myself saying, really, what this is about is saying yes to your adventure, not someone else's. And
right.
I realize I'm giving them, it's like code talk. It's like code talk.
Exactly, but they'll get it. They're wired
right.
for it.
Right,
yes.
right. And I know that when I'm saying it, you know, to a degree that I'm going, come on. It's like as if in Lord of the Rings when the Queen of the Woods is talking to Frodo from To Thought. Like,
right,
and,
right.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm that with the kids going, kids,
get up.
This is
you
your
can do
adventure.
This.
you can do this. You know, yeah, it's like your imagination is the gateway through. Come on, this is your adventure. You know, not the consensus or the trance, the mass trance. You know,
yes.
and so that's what I'm really sending. That's my message. You know, and so I just as you're talking, I just heard myself this Tuesday, and going, okay, if nothing else, I'm hoping they're getting that message. You know, like the bell might go on and they're like, hey, yeah, my adventure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to add that piece.
No, I appreciate that because I hope that that's what I hope for the audience. That is what the show is
yes.
about. You know, it's really
yes,
the template.
Yes.
Say yes to your adventure because it's available. It can't be withheld from you because you're the creator of it.
See, and the thing about Joseph Campbell was such an exquisite man, who really understood the finest human qualities, and you know he talks about them, and you get pulled in when he talks, and you know I love that in this quote. It was so perfect because it says, the big question is, are you going to be able to say a hearty yes to your adventure?
Mm.
So it's about heart, you know, and so,
right.
you know, I
nice.
Loved the quote. It was perfect, but you're right.
Right.
That's the message. It really is the message, you know.
Yeah, Beautifully said.
All.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, you always bring goodness to the end. You know, I'm the analyzing one. Janine is all heart, my friends, all heart.
No.
So, beautiful.
I don't know about that. The little fawn might say otherwise.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, I definitely have heart. You're right. In these conversations, I tend to be there. Okay, checklist. Okay, now we get to the next checklist part.
Right. Well, they're great. They're great, though, Goldie. I really love that you just started with the death card. You know, it was like, let's lay out on the table, and we're like, okay, we're going to talk about the big one. The big one.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like
if I lose them at death, okay, so be it. So, okay, so the second half of the show,
mm-hmm.
what I want to do is talk about the media because I think it's a huge part in the tracking
mm-hmm.
of the matrix in us as well as the tracking of our journey out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So... we all know that TV, you know, is just mind control. I mean, who are we kidding? The frequency it's set upon, the subliminals that are playing in it. But so now the question that begs asking is, do you know how the mind control is affecting you personally? We know it's the larger picture, but are you willing to look at how mind control affects you personally? And I am willing to look at this, and I want to share with you some of the things that I got to maybe, you know, help you to kind of look at your own programming, you know, which shows it is that you're watching and how they're influencing us. 'Cause Okay, so one of the things that happened to me recently that was very obvious to me is I love reality TV. And The Bachelorette is or The Bachelor are one of the, I like watching these shows. And it's funny because, you know, it's not – I never plan on marrying. I you know, you almost scratch your head and go, really, okay, not sure what that is.
Right.
But I do know what it is. It's a program running in me because what I noticed in comparison, the shows that I watch consistently are shows where there are strong women characters, and the strong women characters, and this is, of course, not The Bachelorette or the reality shows. These are Star Trek, Fringe, X-Files. I like the metaphysical shows and or the futuristic shows where the woman is a strong character and the relationships that the men and the women have are not sexual based. They're based in a loyalty, a camaraderie, literally me and you save each other's lives. Because I'm very attracted to that. And what I noticed is when I watch shows like The Bachelorette, my response in my own life is very, very obvious. And I'll tell you how. After I watched The Bachelorette, I noticed a few weeks in a row, I would call Scott and start bitching at him for not paying attention to me or, you know, not focusing on our relationship. It's like all of a sudden that became the template for my emotional well-being was, you know, The Bachelorette. And by the way, I have absolutely noticed when The Bachelorette is on, I know this is going to sound crazy, but my mouth is open and I'm constantly smiling. And I swear... There's something subliminal telling the mouth being open. I think when we shut our mouth, it's almost like when you cross your legs.
Right.
There's some sort of energetic closure that when our mouth is open, energetically we're more vulnerable. Where when our mouth is shut, it's a closed system. When our mouth is open, it's an open system. And I'll be honest with you, I can't even tell you how I know that. It's just a sensation and an intuition.
I think that's a really wonderful detail, like that you caught.
Watch yourself. Yes, watch and see if your mouth, it's a nuance that is being manipulated through subliminals.
Oh, that's so weird, because now that now that you just said that, picture when you were a nanny, because I can picture little kids watching TV and their mouths are open. And it's that's a noticing I never had, but that is so true that I've watched little kids like entranced in television and their mouths are like open.
It's almost
so weird,
like
Goldie.
The sign of the trance.
and let me just say that, because this is so amazing that when I listened to this woman, Catherine Austin Fitz. She was incredibly impressive and informative to me. And all I caught was, I just want to say this. She said so much of what we're saying, and then she said, she called it entrainment media. And it caught my attention. So
that's an interesting term. Yeah.
Entrainment. So that's, and she said it's absolutely true. It exists. So that's so amazing about that physical thing, you know. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that piece that she just
No, thank you. That's very interesting, because entrainment is very much a, we can entrain in nature. If you hold a baby up to your chest, within 3 minutes, your heartbeats will be in the same rhythm. Your breathing will entrain.
Right.
So it's manipulation of harmony that already exists with us. And of course, what are they programming? I clearly saw it, because I would call up Scott and you know, hi, babe, you know, are we going to get romantic? And he's like, you know, what are you talking about, babe? I'm doing the scope tonight. And I'd be like, well, God damn it. You know, pay
yeah,
a little attention
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
Where when I'm watching Star Trek and Fringe, you know, it's really all about sustaining myself and being his partner, but not going towards those, the you know, the romance novel programs. And one of the major programming that, in my humble opinion, one of the hardest flips in belief systems I had to flip is the Disney program. The
yeah.
program that, you know, I could not save myself, that I needed a man to be in my life to save me. I know Disney programmed me that from being a small kid, and not just a small kid, all those years of watching those programs with the kids when I was nannying. It absolutely played a part in my relationship with Scott and other men that I've dated. I mean, it definitely played a part. And it, and in my humble opinion, it played a major part of my dysfunction of me in those
so
relationships, not in my happiness and joy.
Right, right. Well, this is, again, to me, like listening to you, again, you know, you go, okay, so what's the manipulation? And to me, the manipulation is you're not powerful on your own. You know.
Exactly.
You're weak. You're a misfit. You're not powerful. Something's wrong with you. This is the paradigm of fantasy. This is how it's supposed to be. And you're so. This is a distraction. It's a dilution of self-empowerment. And you know, I had the most minute moment where I caught something, and it was one of those places where I went, flip this, because this is. This is an entrance
yeah.
into a new understanding, because on Sunday I had worked outside. It was, you know, I went in the woods, I ran, I came home, I cut the lawn. It was just so beautiful. There was like this incredible dappled lighting going on in the afternoon. There was a breeze, and just out the window, like it was a glance moment. I looked out the window and I saw this little rabbit munching on grass. The dappled light, the slight breeze, it was like a perfect moment of beautiful and on all senses. And I had this momentary feeling of, it was a discomfort of, oh, but you're alone. It was like, and it caught my attention so much that I went, you know what? There's in that weird little moment was a key to a, it's a false, that was a falseness. And I caught it and I was like,
right,
what
on.
Is that? And I knew, I was like, oh, this is such a great thing to discuss, because I felt as if in this weird little moment, I had been given a gift by the virtue of my own ability to know when something isn't right. It's almost like when Neo sees the cat go by twice.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh,
yep.
That's
it's
amazing.
A glitch.
It's
right.
a glitch. And I felt as if that was a glitch moment for me, because I went, no. What is that, Janine? Stay with that. There's something you can really gain, because I felt that was a Matrix moment or a media entrainment moment or a old program. And, you know, I had this very wise woman in New York City. She was an astrologer, but she was so, like, she was such a professional. This was her passion. You know, this wasn't like some side thing. She said to me years ago, and she said, when you get those feelings, whatever they are, those like matrix entrained programming, you know, discomfort, she goes, bring them into you. Bring them in, because that's the key. You don't want to not confront them. You don't want to not turn around and go see the deer. You know, you want to look at it. And that's, I felt as if I, in that moment, caught like a glitch, and I went, no, there's something really rich here for you. You know, bring it in. And it was as if, you know, like the story, in the story there's always these riddles, and within the riddle you can, like, get the truth. You know, that's why, very silly, but did you ever watch that movie with Nicolas Cage called National Treasure?
Yep.
Okay, so he's always following these clues and figuring out
these riddles. Yeah, no, that's a brilliant analogy, yes.
Right.
Yes.
I love how he does that, and it's also incredibly funny. And, you know, he's witty as anything in this movie. And so I felt as if I had one of those moments when I saw that the perfect beauty of this, and I went, something in me, the program in me went, no, you can't, no, you're not enough, or... But it was like 1/1000. That's how long it lasted, 1/1000.
Okay.
But, so I just wanted to share that because...
No, thank you. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I know.
Because, I think it's so important that, I know there's a lot of people that are like, turn off your TV, the truth is that that's just not going to work for all of us. And one of the things that I get from my own experiences is... I don't think it's about, turning off the TV
either.
If it's organically time for you, you're like, listen, I'm not receiving any wisdom from this. Okay, turn off the TV. I mean, because I can tell you, I don't read newspapers. I don't watch the news. I don't garnish any wisdom from those things. But TV, I am still garnishing wisdom in that
right.
I see how when I'm watching shows like the Star Trek episodes, how... right now I'm on Voyager, which is one of Gene Roddenberry's shows, one of the only ones where it's a female captain. And I'm finding it very interesting that I'm at that series now because I'm very much relating to strong women characters. And when I watch that, it is absolutely programming me to be a strong woman lead in my own life. And yet I'm also watching, these housewife shows. And no doubt I can see myself getting into petty arguments with friends of mine because all they're producing on those shows is petty arguments. You know, people stabbing each other in the back. And I can say that I'm getting to the point where I'm doing less of the reality shows, but I haven't stopped watching them. So there's still something in there for me. Because I don't think we should look at things that are the Matrix in a way that – the best analogy, because I was thinking about this all week, going, how am I going to explain this? And the best analogy I can give you is I did cocaine every day basically for I won't say the whole 12 years, about 8 years. For 8 years, I did cocaine every single day. When it came time to stop doing cocaine, I did go to AA meetings or CA meetings. Actually, I went to Sex Anonymous meetings because I realized it was actually all related to my sexuality, that I was numbing myself. And going to CA, which was Cocaine Anonymous, just made me want to go home and do coke. So I was like, okay, we won't do that. But what I inevitably realized is that, just throw that out there for you, chew on that for a while. But what I ultimately realized is that I'm clean now because I choose to be clean. But my journey of going from those meetings to where I am today, I have done cocaine. I know the people that are clean for 20 years, and I totally respect that. But true freedom from a matrix hold, cocaine can pass through my awareness, and to be quite honest, still does with certain people in my family, but it doesn't have a hold on me. So it's not about abstinence. I'm not free of it because I'm abstinent of it. I'm free of it because I no longer need to dull my feelings because in my journey I've come to the awareness of my feelings are my best friends. Feel
exactly.
Everything.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, there's nothing to fear
Exactly.
If you start, you know, like even television, Cajun National Treasure, there's wisdom in everything. You can alchemize, you know, you don't run away from something, you know,
And I'm not saying don't be caught, you know, when I was first quitting coke, I basically went, you guys can't come over here and party anymore. I mean, you know, this is about understanding what I'm saying is it's about a nuance of, it's never about, I can't look at you because you have more power than me. It's always got to come back to the most important thing. I have all the power, and if I'm still choosing to do it, then look at that. Like you were saying, the astrologer said to you, bring that in. Bring it in. I am still choosing to watch women bitch at each other. Why is that? Because there's a wisdom there for me in my own experience that I need to see. So, yeah. But I've got to understand that I could be losing friendships over that. You know, in other words, I'm not blind enough to say I'm watching these series and they're not affecting my life. They are affecting my life. Because now what I do is, because I also still watch The Bachelorette. So the easiest way I don't call Scott. You know, like if I start feeling lonely and not, you know, feeling in a romantic life, and I sit with that feeling. I deal with that feeling because
exactly.
I'm consciously aware it's going to bring up that feeling. So if you want to watch the show, and inevitably, you know, the show will lose its appeal to me. But it hasn't yet, and I'm okay with that because everything happens organically. And that's another thing that I think is a very important aspect of loosening the grip of the matrix that, for me, significantly in 2014, significantly, I am consciously shifting from being a goal-oriented person to being the journey-oriented person. And I can't tell you how much that is making a difference, because once you're focused on the journey, you can make mistakes, you can have the pendulum can swing on both ends. You can feel great. You can feel horrible. You can hit little fawns, and a couple of hours later be all right. Because nothing is about – because I'm recognizing the goals that I've set besides the big ones, which are, you know, basically just be on the planet long enough so when she goes supernova. And if not, then walk out of this lifetime consciously. Those are the only choices – for the quote-unquote end goals. But everything in my life up until one of those two things happening is all about the journey. Like, because I want to remove myself from the matrix, but not completely. Not completely. I'm doing a radio show. I want to instill my influence into the matrix. And why do I want to do that? Because I love a good challenge. I personally think that as I build my strength in my physical, in my emotional, in my mental, in my spiritual bodies, it's not so much about, quote-unquote, for me, going off the grid. No, the Matrix is playing a part of my entertainment and my purpose, too. It's not just my entertainment, my purpose. Because I really believe that the shifting that's going on between the planet and all the dimensions there within, there's room for pioneers such as Janine, yourself, and myself. There's room for us now where, you know, maybe 10 years ago, there wasn't as much space for it. You know, people really didn't want to hear it. You know, they weren't as malleable. Because here's a good analogy for this. I went to my 10-year reunion, high school reunion, because in the last year of high school, I remember being in the bathroom and like six cheerleaders came into the bathroom and I could hear them talking, and they basically said within 5 years, they would probably see me lying in the gutter, you know, dead and drugged and, you know, as a heroin addict. They never knew I was in the bathroom. And statements really stuck to me, you know, like, wow, you know, they really don't think very highly of me, and they really don't think I've got much to contribute here. And so I went to, I couldn't go to my 5-year reunion because I wasn't, to be quite honest, I wasn't confident enough to face them. My 10-year reunion, I went just to let them know, you know, I'm not dead. And, but it was also a matter of, I recognized at 10 years, the girls who had lived, quote unquote, silver spooned lives now had their own dramas that they had to deal with, whether they had miscarriages or lost businesses or parents or marriages. Because what ultimately unites all of us is the awareness that there's a dark side to life. That actually unites us as more and more people become aware of it. And as they become aware of it, now they start looking for the pioneers to go, okay, how do you navigate through this? Because I didn't know how to navigate it either, but when you're at, you know, kind of at the front of the line, it's your job to kind of figure it out. But
yeah,
we have figured it out on some level. There's obviously more to learn, no doubt. But the masses are going through their dark night of the soul. And, you know, it's a crazy thing to say, but I was born for this time. I mean, I'm coming into the greatest time of my life, and I'm 49 years old. It's like the Matrix would tell you, I'm over the hill, I've lost everything, you know, I've got nothing to offer, you know, stick me in a home and watch me die, you know, while knitting on the porch, you know, and it's like,
I got other plans.
That
split second of that little rabbit moment, you know, beautiful, that's exactly right, that you could buy into any of that. But mm-hmm. that is so past that manipulation, that buying into those fictions or those deceptions or those, you know, the things that hold us back.
And I love that
you said what unites us is the challenges. And really, you know, that's when we're, for me, it's like when you really take that in and there's this incredible, beautiful, I mean, it's like that word humus, which is like about the earth, you know,
okay.
Humus, H-U-M-U-S, which is like the root word for humility.
It's
what all unites us is our, you know, that part of us that's the beautiful humility, the humus of our, and human. I mean, that's all those
there
pieces.
It is.
And they unite us, they do, and that's so beautiful. You know, and what I find fascinating, and this is happening currently, so I like it, that as you talk or I talk, I really get this feeling that reality is shifting like I never perceived as we speak. And to me, that means like literally all bets are off. There's such a vast potential of, it's an unexplainable. That's about the best I can do. But I feel as you go into these places that reality is literally morphing.
absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, right? It's like a new creation in a way, you know. So,
well, it's part of the cycle. Yes.
That's very current for me, is that like, in the last week.
That
I'm getting this sense that this is the thing I've noticed for myself, but, you know, you have to go through and be willing to go through real moments of discomfort because, you know, you can think that you need to fill your day up with the this and that, that's what we do, right? Everything's, you know, filled up and we got this and got that. And then there's these moments where it's like, nope, nothing's happening. And just be with that.
Uncomfortable, in other words. Don't be okay because you're okay. Be okay because
it is okay
to be uncomfortable.
Well, and noticing the discomfort, though, because what happens is it brings it to your attention, you know, which is really cool, actually. And what ends up happening is something shows up. It's like that story with the woman who walked across the country and the coat showed up when she needed the coat or the blanket,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
I've noticed that where it's just
the
like...
The Peace Pilgrim, just for other people
you know,
to know.
And it's, and I don't mean to sound like the song out of Frozen, but it's like to let... to let that's a personal joke. But anyway,
yes.
Speaking of Disney. But, you know, when you just really sit in the discomfort and the structure of what your life is and on a daily basis is shifting so much so out of the quote norm and
mm-hmm.
The most extraordinary out of the ordinary just show up and it could be, you know, now I can go do my mom's like little, she's got a cut and I got, you know, going to go change the bandage. That's what I'm supposed to do this morning, you know, and,
oh,
and
absolutely.
Right, and 5 minutes before that, I didn't know that, you know, and it, you know, and then you start to see how, oh, that's what the, you know, that's what this is about, or, and it's the most strangest things make sense, or the way something is unfolding, and I have to say that, like, it's funny that I said to you, now that we've talked, you know, we have a date, watch, and you know, I'm talking
right.
to myself, but I've
yes.
noticed it, and last week, I'm really noticing as I'm in conversation with you, I feel like my sense of or my awareness of what I thought was, like reality is literally forming as we're talking. And that's very, you know, that's just
powerful.
New.
That's
and
powerful.
It's new. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, and because, I, you know, I'm really conscious of, because there was another time, I wish I could remember the post where I posted something and then I saw it manifest and, you know, it's like literally it's like Goldie, watch what you say and watch what you
right.
write. Because I mean,
right.
and, you know, because like one of the things I want to kind of segue into and because
sure.
I don't remember the post, so it loses its impact, is also how TV is preparing us for the next level of reality in our 3D world. Because in my humble opinion, the collapse of the dollar is imminent, without a doubt. And there are definitely things going on behind the scenes. 'Cause for whatever the reason, I tend to have a filter that I can read things like the Karen Hudis work and the Ben Fulford work. And I just feel like I can take out what's really happening and leave the rest. I mean, and I'm not saying I'm 100% on that, but I've got a pretty good gauge with that. And it is definitely happening with the U.S. dollar is becoming there. It's not that you can't get rid of the Federal Reserve, but what people around the world are doing is not using that money. So essentially, it's going to become obsolete due to the rest of the world going, we're just not going to play with you. And I'm finding that to be an interesting way because if you look at that from a template style, that mm-hmm. is the Matrix, right? If you go to fight the Matrix will kick your ass. If you do a dance of like an acceptance, a working with, and then a discipline that you simply don't align with those things that the Matrix wants you to align with, mm-hmm. then it simply doesn't have the power over you anymore.
See,
so,
I think that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say I feel a reality. I really think that we're saying the same thing. That
okay.
Yeah, that I feel like the way you are in a certain reality doesn't work the same as if you're fully engaged in this Matrix-like paradigm, you know.
Okay.
And that's what I just think you just said that about the way you are in a certain reality, and, you know, the Matrix doesn't have the same hold like the dollar system or the fine, you know, however that's going to work. And, I don't know that. But
the media, or, because, I mean, it's exactly what the whole show is, what we're essentially talking about, where, you know, if I'm no longer calling Scott after I watched The Bachelorette, and see now, and here's an interesting thing that I noticed, like with shows like The Bachelorette and the Kardashians, these shows which have huge, huge numbers of people watching. I mean, off the charts, millions of people are watching this. Then you start seeing them working in other Matrix ideas. Like, there was one week, it just so happened at the end of the show they usually do this cocktail party, right? But she decides, I'm not going to do a cocktail party. We're going to go straight to the rose ceremony, and she's going to eliminate who she's going to eliminate, which left a 10-minute gap in the show. The way, you know, it wasn't 2 hours long. It was an hour and 50 minutes. And don't you know, at the end of that show, they brought in another show that they were promoting, some new singing talent show. And, I mean, I immediately saw, I was like, they're utilizing audience that is watching The Bachelorette to sell a new show.
Of course.
But now here's the key to it. This whole music industry, Janine hooked me up with an amazing, even though it drove me crazy, interview from Red Ice Radio the other night.
Yeah.
Do you remember the gentleman's name? I just don't remember the gentleman's name.
Was it Charles McGowan? McGowan, I think. I think so. On Red Ice Radio,
okay.
It's about, if anyone goes on Red Ice and you look for, I think it's Charles McGowan, and he's talking about the Laurel Canyon, California music days in like the late 60s, early 70s.
So in a nutshell, it was so, the stuff is so juicy. I mean, okay, so in a nutshell, in Laurel Canyon in like the mid-60s and early 70s, literally like 50 rock and roll bands that we all know, the Eagles, Joan Baez, the Doors,
the Birds,
like,
the
Birds,
and the
Papas,
Buffalo,
like,
Springfield,
huge,
like 35-40 bands.
35-40 bands that are all household names. Literally, when you listen to this guy's interview and you see his work, these literally came out of a place called Laurel Canyon in like a 3-year period. All 40 of them. Like, essentially what he was revealing is that it was literally the U.S. government or the secret agencies creating culture. Because what they were doing is they were putting into the culture the hippie scene.
And
they
and
were
that
introducing...
was to discredit the anti-war people who were, like, at the universities, you know, really protesting the war in a very, very, like, efficient, you know, really making a difference.
They were taking action. They were taking
action.
So this
action. Is a covert way of discrediting...
Creating passivity. Creating passivity.
Discrediting the movement, you know, because they discredited the anti-war movement by introducing, you know, drugs and alcohol and rock and roll. And they, all, it's so amazing because, you know, I love all that music and I was, you know, growing up,
me
I was
too.
Young then.
Me too.
So to hear this, you know, again, it was like, oh, you know, there goes the false reality thing where there was a covert military operation right there in Laurel Canyon. All these, so many of these musicians' families were intelligence. In other words, they were getting an in. You know, if you think the game is rigged, it is or it was, and this was all happening.
It still is.
So,
it still is.
And it was all happening right, and it was all happening so quickly because the agenda was to discredit the anti-war movement with this, you know, hippie and so, you know, so it was just another perspective on, wow, right in plain sight, you know.
Right in plain sight. That is a key to the Matrix.
Right.
I kind of chuckle when I, you know, people are doing the conspiracy theories and, you know, they're trying to find out all of the stuff the black ops are doing, and it's all in TV. The X-Files, all of them based on true facts. There was a show called for one season.
Yes, right. It's not fantasy world. It's all based on true documentation, you know?
All of it. And I mean, and see, once we know that, then we start understanding about what they call the breakaway society, where the elite, you know, are literally vacationing on the moon and Mars, and we're, you know, being restricted on our borders because we don't have a passport to come from America to Mexico. You know, we're starting to make the connections, which is so funny too, because organically, the day after I hit the fawn and I was in the woods, I was watching the squirrels. I know I'm all over the place right now. Just bear with me. I was watching the squirrels, how they literally travel in the treetops, because if you look at a squirrel, they're very frenetic, right? They run around in like schizophrenic kind of motions. But here's the truth. When I looked at the squirrels going from treetop to treetop, they were the physical form of synapses. That's how energy moves in our brain.
From one to another. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, it totally struck me as frenetic is almost energy coming into me where either I feel like I'm in resistance or I'm judging it,
mm-hmm.
where the squirrel is so confident. Their confidence at the level of the treetops, it's not even boasting. I mean, they are just blatantly living their world up above. You know, I watched several of them. They fall, but then they regroup and it just struck me as, I mean, oh my God, most of the stuff in me is a definition issue. It's not what I'm actually,
it's the definition of
what I'm experiencing.
Right. Because, you know, that's what I was thinking, this frenetic thing coming up for you so often, it's like almost time to reassess, redefine what that is, because it's almost, it's prophetic energy. It's energy that's, you know, coming in, and if you can just go, oh, it's almost reading the body more, reading the energy, or reading, you know, it's like a language, and I noticed that in myself, where I remember I told you this story where, you know, my friend Angela Sarian said to me, how are you? And I go, nervous. And
right.
She goes, no, it's anticipatory energy. And and what she gave me was a new definition for what I was perceiving as nervous, which of course had a negative connotation, and that wasn't accurate. And so the frenetic to me almost could be like visionary energy, prophetic energy, creative energy, something's coming in energy, sensory, you know. And
nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, and so that's like nature's teaching you again, you know. It's so
absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and exactly. Then we go back into, okay, so TV is, I mean, cuz I can name you Dollhouse is a series.
Okay.
Nowhere Man, that's another series. These are absolutely, Dollhouse is the theory about how they wipe our memory and are basically, you know, sex slaving women and the whole how the elite can literally hire someone for a significant amount of money and they'll play your lover. They'll be madly in love with you and it's not acting. They've literally been programmed to be madly in love with you. And they also use these people as spies.
This is really on television?
I thought, and it, like for three seasons, Nowhere Man was a one-season gig. I think it was like in the 70s. It was all about how they kept wiping this guy's memory every time he came close. And it, like, because what inevitably happens is the mind can be wiped, but nature itself, you experienced it. It's like they really can't totally wipe it. I mean, they can, but if the subconscious and the soul want you to remember, I don't know how the body works. I just know inevitably there are places the memory is stored that even with their technology, it starts coming up. It's got to be redone. And you see it in this like 24 episodes. And if anybody's interested in The Nowhere Man, it's actually the entire series is on a YouTube channel that I found. So it's free and you can watch it. And the Dollhouse Show I saw on Netflix. I'm sure it's probably on Amazon Prime as well.
Okay.
But it's important to see that, you know, if you want to know what's going on, Stargate, the whole Stargate, I started recognizing that there are planets all over the cosmos, because Stargate was showing me there are planets with all over the cosmos with humans on it having different experiences. It's like this is part of our world that we, our universe that we live in, and the body. See, we are connected. Now let's go to Avatar, the movie. We
right.
are connected to all of this, because the one thing that now I'm going to shift a little bit is, okay, in our connectedness, first of all, our intuition knows when we're being lied to. So that's what this great awakening is. We don't need confirmation per se. The government doesn't need to confirm that there's aliens out, you know, in our universe. We know there's aliens because we can, even if we've never had an experience with one personally, you can feel this truth. And
right.
trusting the intuition is the language of the soul. It's a beautiful language to connect yourself with, and not just connect yourself with, but trust. But then you look at what the movies and TV have done with the whole agenda of like the aliens, and my mind went to the X-Men and that whole series, because I started recognizing, like I had a dream last night that me and three other people were kind of traveling around these small rural towns in America, showing people our gifts. Like I could heal people with my hands, and my best friend in the dream could bilocate, where literally he was popping in and out of locations instantly. And at first the town, you know, loved us being there, and then it became the Frankenstein scene where they started fearing us.
Right.
And they started gathering a mob, and they wanted to hurt us, and we had to leave. And if you look at the series, the X-Men, the Matrix is programming people of those who are awake with the gifts, having a war with those who are not. And that is why is that program there? Because that truth is coming. Because it is clearly I can see it already in my own experiences. Those would get, you know, it's so funny how people quote unquote worship Jesus and forget that, you know, the truth is people said, you know, crucify the bastard when he was, you know, alive and in person, because people, again, through the Matrix are programmed to fear that which they don't understand. And you can blatantly see it in the X-Men series. And you can also see how these, when I look at the Laurel County music, I mean, if you listen to the interview with this guy, a lot of these amazing, amazing musicians started off, they couldn't play anything. I mean, they were literally just singers. And
yeah,
in
they
other
had
words,
studio, they had studio musicians doing the albums. So that
and
the
they were just
sounded...
singing on it. Yeah, it's like they were taking
right.
nobodies. They were making them superstars by one means. It was all about promotion. It was
right.
all about
it
promotion.
Was, right, which is really so, like now, that is all what it's about. But
it's
yeah.
always been, it's just we're clear on it now. Now we see it.
yeah,
you
then
know,
finally as musicians they started to develop, but in the beginning it was complete facade, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they were not these great beings, but what they were was the controlled subjects singing, you know, because I was a huge Doors fan when I was 15 years old, and I'm looking at that going, wow, that was the Matrix, you know, playing into my dark side, and absolutely, Jim Morrison, you know, with the drugs and the drinking, definitely played an influence with me drinking and drugging. Definitely.
Right.
Hands down.
Right.
The
guy's name is David McGowan. I just found it.
Oh, okay. And I posted the link to the interview in the chat room.
Oh, perfect.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So,
perfect.
So the reason why I'm saying this is the media has absolutely influenced us, but through the awareness, like for me, I want to see these series about Nowhere Man. I want to see the series of The Dollhouse because, A, I'm not afraid of it. B, once it's in my awareness, now I have, through my own, not just cognitive awareness, but my own intuition, now I can see when it's programming me and I'm calling Scott and starting fights, or when I'm judging my friends, you know, because I just watched, you know, I DVR'd, you know, 7 hours of reality TV, and the next thing I know, I'm on the phone with my friend Dennis screaming at him. You know, it's like, like, Goldie, you know, you're literally being the MK Ultra puppet right now. You know, hang up the phone, go to the forest, and process this because that's what's available. That, you know,
yeah.
I'm always happy, you know, and grateful, beyond grateful, so enamored with the wisdom and the effect that nature has on me. Because no matter how twisted I get from anything the Matrix throws at me, truly the love that Mother Nature and all of the components in Mother Nature, the trees, the animals, the dirt itself, rocks, the water, just as we can influence, boldly influence other beings with our love, Mother Nature absolutely can boldly influence your experience with her love. Hands down, you know, I know it's both Janine's and mine experience, and a lot of us out there now are, you know, we are connecting with her because it's just amazing how much we have been taught is not what is. Because
yes.
One other thing that I haven't posted yet, but I will post, there's a 15-page paper on the holographic universe. I can't remember the gentleman's name who wrote it, but it's an excerpt from his book, and it talks about how 50% of what we see is what we see, but the other 50% of what we see is not what's coming through the lens of our eyes. It's actually the beliefs we have in our brain that will compose what we're visually looking at. So,
see, yes, and I think as we shift, that starts changing to a more truthful perception.
And it just comes from the willingness to be aware, to look at, because what ultimately happens in our awakening is when we first start waking up, we really do see that it's a very dark world we live in. It is. But when you go beyond, when you're willing to look at that, you have the capacity to go beyond it, and then you see that we're eternal beings. And in our eternity, if we choose to come for a couple of million years, and I'm just throwing numbers out there, to come play in a darkness, in a horrendousness, from an eternal point of view, it makes sense. Because if eternally we're fully aware and fully unconditionally loving as the norm, well, then you got to look at that from the point of view of, okay, so a vacation from all-knowing, full unconditional love would be fragmented separation, suffering, right? It's the vacation from what we are. And from a creative standpoint, the potential, all you do is have to look around. Look how many beings signed up to be here. There is true beauty in the challenge, in the darkness. True beauty and creativity and, you know, the one thing I love about watching Star Trek and all those kind of shows is you can see how much it's exploration. It's just the exploration of potentially figuring something out or meeting a new species and communing with it. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but for me, that really does it for me, boy. That tickles my soul, and I'm like, you know, because you look at Voyager and you go, they should just head home, and Janeway's always going, no, then we've missed the journey. The journey is to stop, and they get themselves in trouble every time they do, but, and then here's the beauty of it. They figure a way out that is just brilliant. I mean, I don't know about you, Jay. For me, that is just so tantalizing and exciting. It's like, yes. I want to experience that in my life.
Right. Well, you know, the creative solutions, the you know, face the challenge and amazing things show up. I mean, I that's what I experience. And, you know, you end up literally being in awe at, you know, I didn't think I could handle this, but look what's happening. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, or, you know, and when you were talking about, you know, here for a million years or whatever, a million lives, and, you know, and I was thinking, yeah, and in the forgetting, then you start coming out of the forgetting, and this is what's happening, you know, you start really getting it and waking up, and, you know, and that's
and that's
where,
an amazing part of it.
It really is. And I just want to say that when I was a kid, you know, speaking of nature, you know, it was foolproof for me that when I, and now that I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, boy, I didn't have the word matrix, and I didn't understand the whole deception and the discomfort and the messaging and, you know, whatever. But I know that that was causing me anxiety and discomfort as a kid. But inevitably, in always, nature just was this presence and truth that transformed me. You know, and, so it's remarkable that, you know, as a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, and here I am, and I'm 59, and I'm going, look, that is the consistency in my life of, and, you know, and we're talking about it, and it's to me, that's amazing, you know, that.
I agree.
Right?
Well,
who could have predicted such a wonderful, you know, kind of story that,
yeah,
you know, here it is, and we're sharing it, and, you know, it's just awesome. I'm smiling because then I stand up in front of these kids and I'm saying the same thing, you know, nature, sit in a tree, sit, you know, just be outside, you know, and, you know, whether or not they hear you, I don't know.
I think it's important that we connect with nature because once we have that constant, that really is the truth, the healing, the well-being, then we can look at the challenges that are the deceit, the lies, the challenges of it, and not feel like, why can't we eliminate that? Because you don't have to eliminate the challenge in order to be at peace. You just have to be at peace, and then you can look at the challenge and say, well, this is part of the journey. Because it's not about completely healing the planet, you know, the people on the planet, so everybody is in this neutral space and it's all about unconditionally loving. I should say that's not what it is for me. Because I never want to not be challenged.
Well,
love
the creative
challenges.
Process doesn't work that way, you know. It just doesn't.
Exactly.
It just doesn't. And I just want to back the, because I was driving around the other day and, you know, things are coming in and out and I'm thinking and I'm thinking, wow, that was intuition right there. And I thought, oh, I got to tell Goldie, intuition is like outside the matrix. And, you know, we really should talk about that. And then you brought it up and I'm like, there it is. It's the intuition, you know.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to back that, the intuition. So good.
Yeah, right on. Well, it's because it is the ally that the matrix, you know, it's what they fear the most. What they fear the most is us being connected to our inner selves that are more expanded, more wise than our personality aspects. And once we are connected with that aspect, playing in the mud and getting dirty, you're not afraid when you know you can go take a shower and get cleaned. And I'm saying that only as an analogy, because in my humble opinion, I come home from the forest and I purposely do not shower because I enjoy having dirt on me. The chemical stuff out there, okay, that I wash it off with the dirt. You know,
I used to be like that with the ocean as a kid. I'd love to go in the ocean and then not rinse off. You know, it was just so great just to be all salty.
Yes. Exactly. So
is this over? Is it like, wait?
Well, it's at the end. Yeah, we did.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing. It's been to approach this topic. You know, I knew was an expansive topic, but you know, I loved where it was going, and it was organic, and it just felt really. Really great to open up with, you know, the ultimate manipulation and deception. And so thank you, Goldie.
My
thank
pleasure,
you.
Janine. Thank you too. You truly are such a, you're the best wingman I've ever had. I mean, I love our shows that we do together. I love what you bring to it and how you relate with me on the shows. So appreciate it's awesome. I
it's
love
fun and
playing.
It's expansive, you know, and you know, and it's very it's a movement, and I like that, you know.
Right on. We are not stagnant. Yes, we are.
No.
Yes, very dynamic. And of course, the audience. Thank you all
thank
for being
you,
here. Lilu, thank you for tuning in, and Rich Copeland, thank you for tuning in. And I'm not sure who else is here. I super appreciate you because I know on some level, intuitively, what you guys are thinking influences what me and Janine share. And
sure.
I love it.
Absolutely.
So comments are welcome. And, you know, thank you so much for being here, everybody. Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome.
And we'll do a show. We'll do another show soon, you know, when something else pops up into our awareness. And I can definitely promise you, once Goldie gets her floating sensory deprivation tank, we're definitely going to do a show on that. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, I do have a couple of shows coming up. I'm in talks with the guy who I'm buying the tank from. I'm in talks, so that zenfloatco.com, I'm going to have those guys on. And a friend of mine, Tony Bermudez, who is, he's a very special man. I'll introduce him July 19th, I am doing a show with him. I'm very excited about that show too. Yeah, he's a very powerful presence. Can't wait to share him on the air. And, you know, Janine and I might do a show in between then, but, you know, we post everything on Facebook, so I'll let you guys know as shows come up. And,
okay, sounds good.
And so thank you again, Janine. You rocked
it
tonight.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, and you guys all have a great night, and we will be back in divine time.
great.
Happy Independence Day.
Free yourself. All right.
Free
love
yourself.
You all.
I love you too, baby.
Bye.
Bye. Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
We have a laugh or sing our songs. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.